Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for coming. It's great to see people. If I could just reiterate the request, please turn off your phones. I'd like to thank our sponsors for the year that all the Shirim in 25, behind the times, are sponsored Le'ilui Zeli Ben Kalman and Brothers Bespandit, and we're very grateful for that sponsorship. So last week we opened with a very interesting, I thought it was interesting, I enjoyed it anyway, shir on the issue of women in Sifrei Torah. Part two is today, which is the issue of dancing and women's hakafot with the Sifrei Torah, which is a topic we haven't looked at before. This is all leading up to the even more, I think, involved topic of women and laning from Sifrei Torah, which I was hoping to do next week. But then I realized this is a new topic we haven't prepared before. This is at least two shiurim, possibly three, and I cannot possibly try and crush it into one shiur next week, because you will be all left disappointed, as will I. So next week we will not be dealing with that. I will put that off to after the Chagim. My apologies if you were excited about that, but don't worry, keep you on spiel, because it'll happen. And next week we'll have a topical issue that will relate to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Next week will be our last shir before the Chagim. The Wednesday after that is already Rosh Hashanah. The Wednesday after that is already Erev Yom Kippur. And then it's Sukkot. So after the week after Chag, not the week of Chag, but the week after Chag, we will start again in these shiurim. Right, so you'll have to work out between now and then what you're doing about women's laning on Simchas Torah, if that's your thing. What's that? There'll be more Simchas Torah to come. And this is something which is not just Simchas Torah, people do this on a regular basis. So, not for now. So in part one, by way of just summarizing what we did last week, I brought you a summary at the beginning of today's sheet. In bullet points, we saw that Sefer Torah should be moved as little as possible and only where its own covet is enhanced. We saw some really strong statements on that. Poskim that didn't even want to take a Sefer Torah to a shiva house, didn't even want to take a Sefer Torah across the Kotel Plaza to a minyan, because you shouldn't be moving a Sefer Torah. The people come to the Sefer does not go to them. Even the long route that we take around the shul when we bring the Sefer Torah out for people to kiss it, the poskim are already saying, well, I suppose it's accepted now, it's kavod haTorah, but it's not ideal. Really, the people should come to the Sefer. The second point we made is that Sifrei Torah are not susceptible to Tumah, which means that anybody who is Tameh can lift them and carry them and open them and read them according to the strict letter of the law, which would mean that a woman who is in Nidah is definitely permitted lahalacha to hold a Sefer Torah, to open a Sefer Torah, to read from a Sefer Torah. I'm not talking publicly yet. We'll deal with that shir. Nevertheless, we said that we brought from some very strong sources over the last 1,000 years that there is a very strong minhag for women who are in Nida, not to, and we saw there were some extreme statements of this, not to touch a Sefer Torah, not even to daven, not even to make brachas, not even to engage in the basic religious activities, lighting candles, etc. And we said, and we'll see this remark again today, that this is clearly not the minhag today. Women clearly do daven all the time. And the remark said that women also do come to shul, although he said that this was really only on the Yamim Nerayim. That there was a custom for women to come on the Yamim Nerayim, and we asked last week, and we will ask again, what's the difference with the Yamim Nerayim? And he said that people are going to be very sad, very depressed, very unhappy to be left out of these big set occasions, and therefore even though women, he said, do not come to shul in Krakow the rest of the year, if they are Nida, they do still come for the Yamim Nerayim, and we're going to have to just analyze what is the difference between them, etc. So we will look today at two issues. The first one I will look at very, very briefly, which is the issue of taking the Sefer Torah round the shul into the women's section on the way back to the Aron, all the way from the Aron. I don't know if you've been in any shuls where they do this, but this, I wouldn't say this has caught on. This is still, I think, quite rare, but I've been to a number of shuls where this has happened, that the man takes out the Sefer Torah from the Aron, walks down, takes it around the men's section, hands it over to a woman, she takes it around the women's section, hands it back to a man, takes it to the Bima, and the same in reverse on the way back. Most poskim are not particularly happy about this, or very unhappy about this. And all I will do is refer you to 5 or 6 sources at the beginning of the sheet, which I'm not going to read. In number 1 and number 2, I brought you two psakim from Rav Vosner and from Rav Zilberstein, They are not talking about this specific issue. They're simply talking about taking the sacred Torah around the men's section where the women can reach out and touch it and kiss it. And even that, they're very, very lukewarm about, and you can look at their reasoning yourself, and I don't think it would be a stretch to say that they would clearly be unhappy with the idea of taking out the Sefer Torah into the women's section. But I brought you also, by way of balance, in number 5, I brought you a piece from Rabbi Avi Weiss. Now, you can imagine that Rabbi Avi Weiss from Riverdale was quite keen on this minhag, and actually this is an early piece from Rabbi Weiss in 1982, when he was innovating some of these new ideas. He talks about what he did in Riverdale, the women who supported it, the women who opposed it. Then I brought you a short piece at the bottom from Duracheha. I strongly, strongly commend the website Duracheha. It's a fantastic website. It's just a nicely put together site, but also very easy to use, and also very packed, jam-packed with women's halachic issues. It's excellently curated and edited. Laurie Novick and Shayna Goldberg, very involved in this, and therefore I brought you a piece from there, which I thought put out the arguments quite fairly, one way and the other. It's up to the shul, and different shuls will have different sensitivities. So I'm not going to really get into that issue, because it will take us too long, and then we won't have time for all the dancing, and we can't stop the dancing. Therefore, I will leave you to read that on your own. Let's start at the top of page 3. What could be the issues with women dancing with the Sefer Torah? So let's start with the general minhag of dancing with the Sefer Torah. Where does this come from? It's a very strange thing to do. Usually the Sefer Torah is very gently taken out, gently put back, and then all of a sudden on Simchas Torah, everybody's waving it in the air and dancing around the room. Says the Rambam, talking about the Simchat Beit HaShoeva in the Beit HaMikdash. Mitzvah laharbot b'simcha zot. There is a mitzvah to increase this simcha. But not everybody got involved in this dancing, this exciting, spirited dancing as they brought the water up to the Mikdash. Not everybody got involved. Not the Amei Haaretz. Not anyone who just felt like dancing. He's getting this directly from the Mishnah. The Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael, the Rosh HaYeshivot, the Sanhedrin, the Hasidim, the Hazakenim, the Anshei Maaser. Only the top echelons, the leaders of the community, Heim Shehayu Meragdim, Umesakim, Umenagdim, Umesamchim, B'Mikdash, B'Yemei Chag HaSukkos. They were the ones who did the dancing. Aval Kol Ha'am, but the regular people, Ha'anashim, the men, the Hanashim, and the women, Kulam ba'im, yes, they came. Lir'ot v'lishmoa. They were the audience. They came to clap. They came to applaud. They came to cheer. But they did not come to act wildly at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. That was restricted for the leaders. Now, that's very interesting, because as we get into Simchat Torah, we'll see that this was originally the minhag on Simchat Torah. Not everybody just a free-for-all running around and dancing up and down. But this was, it was much more controlled. And in the last 100 years, it's kind of got a little bit out of hand. Not to mention a little bit alcoholic, which we'll talk about as well. Look at number 8. Generally speaking, dancing on Yom Tov is prohibited. There is a general shvut, a rabbinic law, number 8. The Elohim Mishum Shvut, says the Mishnah in Beitzah, the following activities are prohibited because of shvut. Shvut is the name for a rabbinic gezerah, a rabbinic prohibition on Yom Tov or Shabbos. And included in that list is loy metapchim, the loy mesapkim, the loy merakdim, clicking your fingers and slapping your thighs and dancing around the room. They are all prohibited on a rabbinic level. Why? Because the Gemara says, because once people start jigging around and dancing and clapping, someone's going to grab a guitar, tune up the guitar, and that's an Issur D'oraita. To tune a musical instrument or to fashion a musical instrument to make some kind of makeshift music, that's an Issur D'oraita, and people were obviously very, you know, tempted to do this, and therefore they made a clear gezeirah, you're not allowed to do these things. I remember even on Shabbos when I was younger, grumpy old men in the shul stopping people dancing and saying, it's asur, to dance on Shabbos. Who dances on Shabbos? Now it's almost ridiculous to even imagine that people would not dance around the room. Everybody dances around the room. Used to be, Judaism used to be more kind of staid than it is today, let's say. Okay, Simchas Torah clearly is an exception, and the Gaonim recall this. Number 9. Will be Yontzav Sheni. This is from the Gaonim. But on the Yontzav Sheni, on the second day Yontzav, Shehu Achron, Achron Shel Chag, what we call Simchas Torah. They were in Bavel, they had Simchas Torah already. Regilim Etzleinu Shemarakdim.
Are many of the people dance? Afilu kama zakenim. Even the old people, meaning the elders. Again, the elders, the people who are the teaching the others. B'shasha omrin kilusin the Torah, when they all sing to the Torah. Elisha zomishu shvut, because this is drabonon as a prohibition. Shul shvutu v'nagu b'heter b'yomze bilvad lechavod haTorah. And because it's the Torah mitzvah, they made an exception, because there's a general principle that shvus deshvus, two levels of drabonon, are usually permitted l'tzorech mitzvah. And since this is two levels of drabonon, meaning, generally speaking, dancing on Yom Tov would be a rabbinic prohibition, and it's second day Yom Tov where everything is a rabbinic prohibition to start with, so you have two levels of drabonon, and you have the mitzvah of kavod haTorah, and that's the exception that we make on Simchat Torah. But it's interesting, he talks about the zakenim, again the zakenim are dancing. The Ramah brings down in number 10, the current Yom Tov Ha'achron Simchas Torah. We call this last Yom Tov Simchas Torah. Lefisha Smeichim Va'isim Bo Sudas Mishta Legamra Shel Torah. We make a special Suda that we finish the Torah. I think he's talking about a Kiddush that we make. That's probably what special Suda that's what we have. Va'id Nagu B'Bidinus Eilu Al-Mirag in Poland is La'haisi B'Simchas Torah Arvis V'Shachris Kol Sifrei Torah Shevehechol. We take all the Sfarim out in the evening, in the morning. Va'omrim, and we say Zmiros V'Tishbachos. So we sing praises and songs. V'chol makam lefi minhago, and everyone does its own thing in its own way. V'od nagu lahakif, and then we do hakofas im sifrei Torah. Okay, habima sheba beis haknesses. We are makif the bima with the sifrei Torah. Kamosha makifim im halulav v'hakol mishum simcha. So again, he records that they get the sifrei Torah out, and they put them. People sing. And there's a minhag that they carry them around the bima, Ana Hashem Oshi Ana, etc., etc. They carry them around the bima. But again, no mention yet of wild dancing. The idea of dancing seven hakafot, with dancing as well as just processing, is from the Arizal. It's from the Mekubalim. And I brought you here from the Chida in number 11. He quotes the Rishash of Shem Sharabi, who was one of the most important Kabbalists of the 1700s. And he quotes as follows, number 11. Tchila v'rosh yanich, at the very beginning of the service, yanichu sefer Torah bateva. We put the sefer Torah down, because of course it's a Sephardi sefer Torah. They put it down on the bima. V'yu etzlo yarish shamayim, okay, v'yado oichzeh sefer Torah, and there's a man standing there, a yarish shamayim, holding the sefer Torah to make sure it doesn't wobble or fall off. Calls man ha-hakafot, while everyone does hakafot. Kichei kibalti me'makubal ha-mufla me'harash ha-shirashirabi. I got this from the Rishash. Shehaya makpid al-zeh. He was makpid. What was he makpid on? Either they all do hakafot, or that the sefer is in the middle and someone holds it. But again, they're not doing hakafot and dancing with the sefer Torah. They're doing hakafot around the sefer Torah. The minhag that we have today, sort of, I mean, just the beginning of that, comes from a very interesting book called the Chemdat Yomim. Now, I don't know how much you know about the Chemdat Yomim. I didn't know very much, but I know a lot more now that I've been working on the Shir this week. The Chemdat Yomim is a very controversial sefer. It's a Sephardi sefer. It records a lot of minhagim. It's a Kabbalistic sefer. And it was first published in the early 1700s by Rav Yaakov Al-Ghazi, who was a very famous Sephardi posek. But it was not his book, and he published it anonymously. He said, well, I'm not going to tell you who wrote this book. I'm going to publish it, and people can read it, and it's going to be very, you know, impactful on Minhagim, etc., etc. Almost from the very beginning, there was a great deal of suspicion. Why would you publish a book at the beginning of the 18th century anonymously? What was going on in Turkey and around Europe at that time? This was the fallout after the Shabtai Tzvi debacle of the 1660s. And this at this exact time, where people like Rav Yaakov Emden were on the lookout for anything that even smelt of Sabbatian tendencies. And he immediately zeroed in on this book, and he wrote very clearly, this book is Sabbatean. This book has to be off the menu. You cannot have this book. It should be taken away. And his theory, it was written by Nathan of Gaza.
Nathan of Gaza, of course, was Shabtai Tzvi's right-hand man. Every Mashiach needs an Eliyahu Anovi. And Natan Ha'azati was a very accomplished Mekubal. Shabtai Tzvi himself was not such a big Talmud Chacham, certainly not as much as Natan Ha'azati. Natan Ha'azati was the spin doctor. He knew all of the stuff. He has a whole Kabbalistic approach, which is Sabbatian in nature. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, this book is Sabbatian. It may not be touched. Others disagreed very strongly. There were others who said, no, this book is legitimate, and it was supported by many Sephardi Rabbanim. And to this day, there is a debate about this. To this day. There's even a version of the book that was printed with a poem with an acrostic of Natan Ha'azati in it. So that's a pretty much a giveaway. But there were others who disagree. If you look at the academics, you'll see I brought you in the footnotes. You don't need to read them right now. But, for example, Boaz Huss, and Gershom Sholem and Yeshaya Tishbi, who wrote a lot about this, say the book is Sabbatian. Other people say the book is not Sabbatian. So there is, to this day, there is a debate. Why is that of interest to us? Because we'll see he is the origin, or at least one of the first people who records lots of minhagim that we do. For example, we'll see Sifrei Torah in a minute. Le David Hashem Orev Yishi. Where does the minhag come from to say Le David? Everyone's makpid. Elul to say Le David Hashem Orev Yishi. That's where we're getting it from. At Kidei Kaf, there were a number of Lithuanian poskim that stopped saying L'David Hashem Orev Yishi when it turned out that it was from the Chemdas Yamim. And to this day, there are people who don't say L'David Hashem. Tefillah Zakah, the beginning of Yom Kippur, he's one of the main sources for Tefillah Zakah. And many other things as well. You can Google it online. You'll see other ideas that come out that come from the Chemdas Yamim. So a very controversial, very interesting book. And as I say, the jury is still out on how that works. Look at number 12. So I'm going to quote from the book because it's on the Bar Ilan CD, so it can't be that bad. But also it is quoted a lot by different people. Rav Avadi Yosef was very happy to quote it, although, as I said, many others not. Number 12, he says, Ma'alad ribui ha-simcha lifnei sifrei Torah v'hachnasaso l'chupa. We bring the Sefer Torah not just out on Simcha Torah, we take it under a chupa. So he says as follows: V'chein le'inyan ha'simcha kol ha'marbe v'kol minei semachos lifnei ha'sefer. Any simcha you can do in front of the sefer Torah, ma'orer ha'simcha l'mala. Kabbalah is from the word makbil. There is a parallel. There is a match between what we do down here and what happens up there. The more simcha we have down here, the more simcha is up there. Aim habanim smecha, and of course this is all energizing certain aspects of the sefirot. I don't know if he's specifically talking about bina, which is often called the ima, the ein habanim smecha. I'm not a makubal, but he's saying it does real things. Simcha v'sason v'yikah. V'al kein moitzim ha'sifrei Torah ma'aminim otam b'toch chupatam. Therefore, we bring out the sefer Torah, we put them under a chuppah. And we dance in front of, we do a simcha in front of the svarim under the chuppah like a chatan v'kala. Like bringing them under the chuppah. Okay? You have to be very, very particular. Dafka to make a chuppah for the Sefer Torah. Which is a pasuk from Malachim that I think he says you're going to be damaging. You're going to be knocking holes in the heavenly edifice of what's going on if you don't do a chuppah. Have you ever seen anyone do a chuppah with a Sefer Torah under a chuppah? Hachnasa Sefer Torah. Yes, that's very interesting. So maybe that survived in Hachnasa Sefer Torah. I don't know if it's at all related, but one of the things that really infuriated the Rabbonim of Turkey that started to push Shabtai Tzvi completely out of the community is he performed a wedding under a chuppah with a Sefer Torah where he married a Sefer Torah. Now, that's not the same thing as what's going on here. But the minute I saw Sefer Torah and Chuppah in the same sentence, in my mind, it raised the question as to whether there was anything going on here. Could be nothing. I'm not saying it's connected. And you're right, we do this still with a Simchas Pesach, Achnas Sefer Torah. Yeah. Yeah, you call it Naran, we do the chuppah. That's very interesting over the Torah. Maybe that is one of the survivors of this minhag. Anyway, but still, he said the dancing is in front of the Sefer Torah. Next paragraph. Minhag shetamid chacham notlim Sefer Torah mechupasam, then the tamid echachamim take the Torah from under the chuppah, b'shira, with song, umekifin, hateva zayin pa'amim. And the tamid echachamim go around 7 times. V'achak kach yiku gudoli Yisrael chach mea Torah v'hasifrei Torah, mitoch chupasam, they take them from the chuppah, v'ipatchu piyem b'noam, kol b'shir, u'shvach, ha'adil, v'zimra, v'hoides, l'ashem, livnei Sefer Torah, sifrei Torah. They do it singing in front of the sifrei Torah. V'yakifu behemes hateva sheva hak
hakafas and they dance seven hakafas keneged sheva hakafas da Hoshana Rabba, just like Hoshana Rabba. And in the last paragraph he says, "Varoi lekol evet Hashem, the rabbi is called minis machas. Anyone who is true servant of God should be lifting the simcha on these occasions. Lifnei sefer Torah, always in front of the sefer Torah. The rikud and mafazes and macharker, and you should go wild. B'shirim na'im v'loyachush al kavod torasoi. Don't be worried about that you're going to look silly." As the Talmud Chacham dancing wildly, Shema Ya'ligu Allah. People will make fun of you. V'izbaze be'enei hamoine am, and the people will look down on you. Ki afim hu gadol b'Torah. Even if you think you're a big Talmud Chacham, ulam David Malka Mashicha Yigdal Mimenu. David Hamelech Mashiach Hashem was greater than you. Har b'maot, much greater than you. Va'afal pikein b'shah shehala shehela aron kodesh Yerushalayim. Haya mecharke b'chol oz lifnei Hashem. As we know, David went wild. Michal was critical, etc. But again, we see from here dancing in front of the Sefer Torah. When did things become like they are today? So I brought you already number 13, a quote, which references the minhag of Bucharest. Okay, so the chief rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Yaakov Elyashar, quotes the Rav of Bucharest, which is in Bulgaria, right? If I'm not wrong, I think, somewhere like that. And he says as follows, number 13. Romania. Excellent, thank you. Hu ra'a, this Rav in Bucharest, saw the Anshe Tzura Hanekbadim Einam Noisim Hasifrei Torah, that it wasn't the Zakenim of the community that were lifting up the Sifrei Torah, Lahakif Bahem, to do the Hakofas. Rak Hamoinam, it was the average people, the Yeladim, and the youth were taking the Sifrei Torah. The Einam Noigim Bahem Kovat Torah Kadat Mash Lasot, and they were not behaving properly. The Hu of a Rav Hitkin, and he made a Takana Sheyetsu Belaila Zayin Sifrei Torah Levad. They're only going to take seven Sifrei Torah and give them to specific people. The Zayin Ubayom Zayin Sifrei Sfarim, and in the morning seven Ubemincha, which is interesting, they'd Hakofas and Mincha. Nice minute to start. Zayin Sfarimini. He wanted to try and crack down on this, and you'll see soon coming out of many of the poskim bezmanenu when they talk about women's hakafas, one of the things that they immediately say is, we don't like men's hakafas. What men are doing with the Sifrei Torah is not correct. And now you're asking if women should do it? Why would we expand something which is already not correct? Now, you can decide whether you feel that's a fair argument or whether the women are going to say, well, all the time the men were doing it, you put up with it. And now that we want to do it, you won't do it. Yes?
We started with saying that this was only Yom Tov Sheni.
Yes.
Which is Chet, which is only in the Rabbanit.
Yes.
Now he's coming to Zion.
No. Zion Sifrei Torah. Seven Sifrei Torah.
Ubayom,
and in the morning, Zion Sfarim. Yeah, he's not.
Still
Simchas Torah Chutzlaretz. Okay, so let's get to women. So, generally speaking, there is an incentive on Simchas Torah to try and involve everybody. Number 14. The Yesh Lismoach L'Rabim. V'chol Mada Esha B'Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Whatever we can do to increase Simcha Shel Mitzvah, says the Eliyahu Rabbah, on Simchas Torah we should do. Now, of course, he's not talking for one second about women's hakafas. He's just in the general cloud, but it's important to mention that general sort of meta-halachic urge on that day to spread the simcha. But I did find on the Drachah website a very interesting source from Worms in the 17th century. So that's, not early in the community in Worms, but in sort of early modern period. And he says as follows, the chazan of the shul says like this, the shamash. Minag Nashim, what was the minag of the women in Worms in 1700s? Minag Nashim bein Mincha l'Mariv, between Mincha and Mariv on the night before Simchas Torah, Beleil Simchas Torah, Ba'am b'mal v'sheihim, ha'yukarim, they came in all their beautiful clothes, v'hanayim, all their lovely yontav avos, ha'tovim sheyesh lahem, u'ba'im b'cheder ha'chitzon shel beit ha'knesset, and they came to the outside courtyard of the shul, lifnei petach ha'chitzon, in front of the outside entrance to the road, shel beit ha'knesset, the Nashim of the women's shul. Interesting, they had a women's section there. V'roiv ha'nashim, and most of the women, b'frat nashim b'charot, especially the young girls,
who've got all this energy. Mechaberot yad liyad, they all take each other's hands. Uberoshan, and the head of them is Neshei Chatan Torah v'Chatan Breshit. Interesting. The wives of the Chosan Torah and the Chosan Breshit. They are also given the kavod at the front of the crowd. V'holchin igul saviv, and they make circles dancing. Umeshayra, and they sing Yigdal. Interesting, and if they have a special tune. Uzmira shiragim l'sharer l'chavod chatan v'kala. So there was a minhag of women's dancing. Again, nothing to do with the Sefer Torah here. But the idea of women coming out and dancing on Simchas Torah is a very old, old minhag. And why not? Why would women not dance? And in fact, when Rav Avram Yosef, Rav Ovadia's son, was commenting on that, he says clearly, number 16, Etzem HaSimcha B'Vadai SheMutar. Of course it's mutter for women to dance on Simchas Torah. Of course they're clapping and dancing. The problem only comes when they want to dance with the Sefer Torah, but the idea of women dancing, and actually this is a very important first point. Many women that have spoken to me say, Simchas Torah for women is very boring. They stand, they watch the men, they dance around, drink whiskey, behave badly, and the women just stand there like schmerls and they look. So the first thing is, before you even get into a discussion about Sefer Torah, why isn't there dancing for the women? Forget about the Sefer Torah. Have women's rikudim in a special part of the shul and have someone organize it, and the young girls and someone exciting and energizing, and that for sure should be. There's nothing to talk about. A shul that doesn't put that on is for sure just ignoring the women. They should at least have the dancing, and that's been Minhag Yisrael for generations and generations. So that's the first thing. And actually, in Alon Shvud, which I'll refer back to soon, because our shul had our community about 7-8 years ago had a major debate on this issue, what we're going to do on Simchas Torah. And our shul actually has three different things going on for the women at the same time. One of them is the women just stand and watch. Okay, some women like to stand and watch. If you like to stand and watch, that's great. Great. Some women like Simchas Torah, they can just relax and chat with their friends and stay home and come late. That's good. If you want to do that, that's great. Then we have women's dancing. Just women's dancing, just without a Sefer Torah. And then in the Ulam Smachot downstairs, which is not technically part of the shul, they have women with the Sefer Torah. So we'll get to that in a minute as to who said yes, who said no, the debate that we had about that. And my wife says it's about a third. There's, you know, a third of the women stand and watch, a third of the women dance without the Sefer Torah, a third of the women dance downstairs with the Sefer Torah. But why would it be an issue at all? So there are three basic concerns. The first one is the issue of Nida that we raised last week. Let's have a look again briefly at the Shulchan Aruch, what it says, number 17. We looked at this last week, but for those who weren't here last week or have forgotten what we said, let's look at it briefly again. Number 17, says the Shulchan Aruch in Orachayim Peches. Kol atzamein korim b'Torah. All people who are Tamei can read from the Torah, but Karim Kriyishma can read Shema. Mitpalelim chutz mibali keri. Apart from, we said last week about keri, a man who's had a seminal emission, that was a special rabbinic gezeirah, Shavitzia Ezra mikol haTameim. Ezra separated them from all other Tameim. V'asru, and they said they can't do this. Bein b'divrei Torah, bein b'kriyishma v'tzvila, they're not allowed to daven and learn. Achi yitbol kadesha lo yiyu tamid chacham v'tzuyim etzal neshoseim katar nigoylim. So the Talmid Chachamim would not be like chickens with their wives. I think it means over-demanding, over-indulgent, etc., etc. But we know that that all got cancelled. The Achakach Bitluoitzah Takana, but they can't cancel the Takana. The Emidu Adava Al Hadin, and they went back to the regular din. Sha'ach Bar Keri Mutza B'Divrei Torah, or B'Kriya Shema, or B'Tfila, B'Loi Tfila. You don't have to go to the mikveh anymore if you're a man, even a Bar Keri. U'B'Loi Rechitza, you don't even have to do Rechitza Tishakavim, which is standing under a shower. V'Chein Pasha Tuminek. And as we said, there are Hasidim, you know, certain people who would go to the mikveh. But then in chimes the Ramah. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Mechaber, no, there's no problem with a woman lifting a Sefer Torah, reading a Sefer Torah, etc. Says the Ramah in the Rashi script. But there are other opinions. So a woman, when she's actually menstruating, during the days that she's bleeding, shouldn't come into the shul. And she shouldn't even daven, or ask Yishei Hashem, or even mention God's name. No brachas, or ligab a sefer, or even touch the sefer. Now again, does this mean just a sefer Torah, or even as far a sefer at home? Which is very interesting, because if she's not coming into shul, why would she be talking about touching a sefer Torah? Although people have sefer Torah at home as well, could be that. Now it's interesting that even though that sounds extreme, we saw last week, it makes it into the Ramah as one of the opinions.
The Yesharim Shemutara is Bakol, and other people say, no, we don't do that at all. V'chein Ika, and that's the halacha. So nobody disagrees on the halacha that the women are allowed to do all of these things. It's not prohibited. Aval haminag b'medinos elu kesvar rishona. But our minag in Poland is like the first opinion that women don't do anything at all. Ubi yamei libun nagu hetzer. But that's only when they're actually menstruating, when they're just keeping their shiva nakiyim, then it's okay. And we said at the end of last week, what's the difference? If the problem is tumah, then the tumah doesn't change. The Gemara is very critical of people who make a distinction between the days when the woman is actually bleeding and the days of the Shiva Nakiyim, and somehow think that the Shiva Nakiyim, there's a lesser nida than there is. No, chas v'shalom, it's no different. So if it's all about tumah, what's the difference? And therefore, we saw the Rabbi Yaakov Emden suggest, well, maybe it's nothing to do with tumah. Maybe it's just about personal hygiene. Maybe it's about the fact that women felt uncomfortable in shul. There wasn't a lot of personal hygiene, help available for people who are menstruating. Maybe it's nothing to do with the nida at all. And then he says, "Va'afilu b'makom she'nagul hachmer." Even if people are machmer to say to the women that they shouldn't come, b'yamim naraim uchiyah gavna, on the yamim naraim and similar days, she'rabim itasvim leilet b'beis haknesses, where lots of people, lots of women as well, want to go to the bet knesset, mutarim leilet b'beis haknesses k'shanachim shashem. Then even these other women can go. So again, we said, if your problem was tumah, why are you just making an exception for the Yamin Arayim? All of a sudden it doesn't matter? No, it's obviously something else. And he said, we're not going to stop the women from coming. And he says, ki hu lahen, because it would be itzavon gadol. Very upsetting for these women. Sha'akol mit asvin, that everybody's there. Vehen yamdu chutz, and they're left outside. And we said also last week that this was extended in the Shulchan Aruch Rav to a family simcha, a chasna, bar mitzvah, etc. The women are encouraged to be in shul. Okay, so what are we going to do here? So I brought you on the top of page 5 the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe was consulted in 1970s by Rabbi Shlomo Riskin. Rabbi Riskin, he should be well in Ifrat, asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe what he thought about women's hakafas with the Sefer Torah. Okay, I'm sure he consulted with Rabbi Avi Weiss about it as well, and all from the same era, and in some ways from the same background, in other ways not, but look at number 18. Another aspect of the problem, says the Rebbe, which although it is not connected specifically to Simchas Torah and to the Hakafas, is still directly connected to the question of what should be the practical custom in this matter of women dancing with the Torah. I mean the halacha brought in the Shulchan Aruch 88, which relates to women in certain circumstances, i.e. nida, regarding visiting synagogue and Sefer Torah, etc. For, quotes, it will be a great anguish for them when everyone gathers but they stand outside, unquote, that's the Ramah, says the Rebbe. One should note that the question there deals with entering the synagogue. Even then, anguish is not enough to permit it, but only great anguish. It's avon gadol. We see from this that in such matters, especially regarding the Sefer Torah, we have no power or authority to create new customs, and certainly not to permit holding hakafot with the Sefer Torah for women. Now, what's he saying? There are other things he talks about as well, which he hints to there, which is the minhag of the Bet Knesset, which we'll get back to. But he says basically that the Ramah only made an exception on Rosh Hashanah because it would be greatly distressing for women not to come. But to tell women that they can't have hakafas with the Sefer Torah will just be distressing, but it won't be greatly distressing. So one of the questions you have to ask is, well, how do you know? I mean, have you asked them? And if you ask them and they say it is greatly distressing, when you ask a person that, do you turn around and say, well, it's not really, you're just saying that, or do you believe them? I have no clear answer to that. Who is it objective? Is it subjective? He sounds like it's some kind of objective criteria. And actually, most poskim do not really push this angle so much for a number of other reasons as well. First of all, the Ramah already said that there are exceptions, we saw. It's not a general rule for everybody. And he said in his community, it was accepted that women didn't come during the year, but they come on Yamim Narayim. Now, today, in almost every community I expect we're all from, the women come the whole year. So that minhag obviously is not followed at all. The women come to shul all through the year. So if that minhag is not followed at all, why is it relevant for the issue of hakafas with the Sefer Torah? Also, and I spoke to my wife about this, when they have women's hakafas with the Sefer Torah, how many women touch the Sefer Torah? Does everybody touch the Sefer Torah? So she said, no, usually 1, 2, 3 women, like we saw, maybe, the senior women, hold the Sefer Torah and everybody else dances. If it's a problem of Nidan touching the Sefer Torah, well, why is it a problem for everybody else? Surely it's only a problem for the women who are holding the Sefer Torah. And let's face it, a lot of women, even if they are holding the Sefer Torah, are not Nida at all. Women who are still young and they haven't yet reached puberty, women who are past the menopause, women who are already in the Shiva Nakim, women who are not Tamei at all, have already been to the mikveh. Meaning, of the women, if you have 100 women in the shul who want to dance with the Sefer Torah, how many of them will actually be touching the Sefer Torah and fall into this specific issue of actually bleeding in the as a nida? Actually, very few. And then the question is it right to stop the whole thing? Because there might be that concern there as well. And there are other things to talk about. Again, if it's a hygiene issue, then obviously that's not an issue at all today in the same way. How does this relate to Sfaradim? Okay, you can tell the Ashkenazi women, well, there are minhagim in Poland, and da da da, if that's relevant. But is that relevant to the Sephardi women as well? So I brought all of these questions because I think my feeling was most poskim do not really focus on this issue as an issue. And so I think it's probably less of a halachic issue. The second issue is Kavod HaTorah. Now let's look at some interesting questions here. Rav Ariel. Rav Yaakov Ariel, who of course was the chief rabbi of Ramat Gan, from the Dati Lumi community, to some degree at least, he says, Lo yadua ma'u makora minan shel ha'gvarim. We're not even sure what the minhag is for the men, liukod im Sifrei HaTorah, to dance with the Sefer Torah. We didn't see a single source that said the men dance with the Sefer Torah. We saw that they dance around the Sefer Torah, that they process with the Rehakophis with the Sefer Torah, but that the Hamon Am dance with the Sefer Torah, we don't know the Makor. Yes? He said, what did he say? He said, let's have a look, just one second. He said, and that we sing, they take them out and they sing. I'm just going back to number 10. Lahakifim Sifrei Torah, and they do hakafas. Yeah, hakafas. Around. Not like, you know, all, not any of this. Okay, if all they did, meaning I'm a bit of a killjoy on Simchas Torah. I would love it if they just did a hakofa and then said, Avtan, hakofa, you know, Stein, you know, proper base. I would love that. And we would take 15 minutes and we'd be Yotzin, everyone's fine. So he's talking about what we do today with like half an hour of dancing and lifting the Sefer Torahs up and down. We didn't see anything like that. The Haminak, Hamakori, the original Minak, he says, Hayala Hakif. In Sifrei Torah to do a hakafa with the Sefer Torah, munachim ala bima. And he said, then even for the Sfaradim, the Sefer Torah was on the bima. And they walked around the Sefer Torah on the bima. Remember, we said the Chida says a man holds the Sefer Torah and they walk around. So, harikud im Sifrei Torah, yesh ba bayot rabot. There are many problems of what we do today. Hugorem lekalas roish v'yachas ha-sfarim. People behave inappropriately with the Sfarim. Kalas roish. You can't behave like that with the Sefer Torah. And it makes pasul the Sefer Torah. They schlep them, they push them, you know, they grab them, they even cast them and rip them. Why would women want to do something that's already deeply problematic? If women indeed want to have a real simcha on Simchas Torah, Hayiti matzia, here's my suggestion. Matzia lehem la'asod zot bifnei atzman. This is what I think that women should do. Okay, ba'avira shelahem u'bamakom shelahem, in their own environment and in their own atmosphere. Okay, shantis mechenu v'tirkadena, they should dance and they should have simcha. Saviv Torah, around the Torah, k'minag ha'makori, like the original minag v'lo im ha'Torah. Put a sefer Torah on the bima, in the women's hall section. Get the women to dance around the Sefer Torah and sing around the Sefer Torah. He said, that I have no problems with whatsoever, because that's really what the men should be doing. Now, let's go on. Rav Nachum Rabinowitz, if you're going to look for a lenient opinion on these kind, or at least not say lenient, but let's say an opinion that really takes into account the women's feelings on these issues, Rav Rabinowitz was very in touch with that. Look at what he says, number 20. If they really want to give nachat ruach to the women, which we said last week from the Gemara, there's an idea, there's a meta halakhic idea. If the women are unhappy, then we should all be unhappy. And if we can allow them to do something which is not actually prohibited, although it's usually not done, but it can be allowed in a certain way, then we should make them happy and we should have shalom with the women in the community. They really want to do that with Nachas Ruach B'Simchas Torah. Umitach kach yavoh le'tikin sheba Ezra, le'taken sheba Ezra's Nashim. This is what I think they should do. In the women's section, Achat ha'nashim ha'chashuvot tachzik b'sefer. He's not got a problem with the Nida. And even if it's a problem with Nida, so you'll find a woman that there's not a problem for, yeah? I think he wouldn't have a problem with the Nida at all. Let a woman stand in the middle holding a Sefer Torah. The Rabbanit, someone important, someone they want to honor, an older person, as long as she can carry it, etc. Okay? Okay? They let them dance around her. Tirkodna, rather. Tirkodna lefaneha derek kovad vehigur. And let them dance around her. That would be a beautiful thing to do. There's no problem with that at all. Because we don't have any halakhic problems with women carrying Sefer Torah. He just dismisses that. And maybe the men will find out this is what the women do, and they'll also learn from that and behave more appropriately. Okay? Better question, sir? That's an interesting question. Yes, yeah. This is what you were alluding to as well. That in Israel, of course, it's first day Yom Tov, and it's a well. Yes, dancing would be. Well, we're makel if Yom Tov here as well. Okay, because that issue is nothing to do with the women. That issue is to do with the heter of dancing. You're right. It's an unusual thing.
Even for men.
You're right. Simchas Torah in Eretz Israel is a hodgepodge of different things all pushed together. The Simchas Torah makes no sense at all in a one-day Yom Tov place. The whole thing was designed for what shall we do on the last Yom Tov, and in a place where they read the Sefer Torah every year, which was not the minhag in Eretz Israel, and was not an issue in Eretz Israel. So now we have this kind of concertina day with Simchas Torah and Yizkah and Tfilat Geshem and everything all together. It somehow just about works, but you're right. It's a very, very good point you're making, but not relevant for the women. So, yes, sir. Yes, they do actually. In some Nusach Sfad places, I don't know what the Sfaradim do as well, on Shmini Atzeret, they also do Hakapot, especially in the afternoon as well. And now we do Hakafa Shnias after as well. We talked about that last week. We must go on. So, should we say to the women no? Because what the men are doing is wrong, and we shouldn't get more people to do it wrong. So, I imagine the women would answer, well, that's fine, but then stop the men. Make a new takana that the men have to do this and the women have to do this, and let's see what happens. And of course, my expectation is you'll have a revolution on your hands. And the men will say, that's not the minhag. We've never done it. The last rabbi was perfectly fine. Everybody else in the world dances with the Sefer Torah. We're not going to stop. And the rav will basically be ignored. And then you'll have to decide whether you can insist on to the women that you're doing something halakhically which you don't actually also insist for the men, and they'll say, well, like, that's just double standards. When it comes to the men, you're fine. When it comes to the women, all of a sudden, you're machmir on Kavod HaTorah. So good luck with that one. I hope that was, if you're a synagogue rabbi. One of the main issues, which I want to focus on for the last 20 minutes of the shir, 15 minutes of the shir, is the issue of the synagogue custom. Rav Shechter. Rav Herschel Shechter is very against this. Number 21. Yesh b'zeh hakafot l'nashim v'tfilat nashim. He's also talking about women's prayer groups, which is more problematic. So he puts the two together. Mishum shinui baru ma'oid boled mi masoret avoteinu. This is a major departure from the traditions of our fathers. Umishum pirates geder min b'minhagi Yisrael. And it's going through a geder. It's breaking down a fence in the minhagim of the Jewish people. Upoirish midarchi atzibur. And it's separating from the community. Ubifrat yesh kapedim yuched b'nogei l'minhagi bet kneset. And we're particularly sensitive when it comes to shul. Why? Because of reform and conservative. One of the first things that they changed is the shul service. You have mixed seating, you have it in English, you have this, you have musical instruments, whatever you have. And therefore, we are very nervous, he says, when it comes to changing anything to do with the shul service. The acha ha'iyun, and after we've looked at it, the hadiyun, the mesinas, we've looked at it seriously. The chabura in kama mirami yeshiva in wayu, we've looked at it seriously. It's prohibited. No women's hakafot. Especially when it comes to the shul. The shul is like a mikdash ma'at. We won't allow it in YU. We're very sensitive to it, he says. Rav Rimon,
Rav Yossi Sfirimon, the rabbi of our community, he's quoted in a private tshuva when asked about women's hakafas with the Sefer Torah. He quotes Rav Lichtenstein, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, of course, the son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik, and we're looking at number 22. Rav Lichtenstein amar, ani lo hayiti matir bekehila hakafot in Sefer Torah l'nashim. I would not allow, says Rav Lichtenstein, and he did not allow, in the shuls that he was involved in, dancing with the Sefer Torah for women. In Yesh Makom Ladun, if there is a debate to be had, Zeba Midrasha. That should be in the Midrasha. B'Migdal Oz. But it says, B'Migdal Oz, Hu Lo Hitir. But even in the Midrasha, Rav Lichtenstein, when asked by his daughter, Rabbanit Esti, okay, Rosenberg, who is the Rosh Midrasha in Migdal Oz, who is Rav Lichtenstein's daughter, she asked him, can we have hakafot with a woman of the Sefer Torah? And they had a hachnasa Sefer Torah. He said, no. Okay, we'll see in a minute what he means by no. Ledato, says Rav Rimon, according to Rav Lichtenstein, Midrasha ze makom sagur. Midrasha is like a private place. Ve'enu chelek mebet haknesses. It's not in the shul. Ledato, asur l'shanot minhage bet haknesses. So, resistance to changing the minhagim in the shul. Now, what happened in Migdal Oz? In Migdal Oz, they did not have hakafot with the Sefer Torah for women. After Rav Lichtenstein died, there was another hakhnasa Sefer Torah, and Rabbanit Esti consulted with the Rosh Yeshiva of the Gush, and they changed. And they said they are going to have hakafot, because they said that Rav Lichtenstein never said it was asur in the Midrasha. He didn't want it in the shul, but not asur in the Midrasha, but he didn't recommend it. And they said, okay, he didn't say it was asur, and now it's like we've moved on, and we'll see what that means, moved on. And therefore, they now allowed it. Rav Rabinovich just confirms here in 23 that, of course, the kehillah has to be happy with it. Even if you're going to do what he said and have a woman standing in the middle with women round, again, he didn't think that you should give the Sefer Torah to all the women to dance, but have one woman. He said only if the Rav agrees and only if the Shul agrees. And then you end up with this very interesting dynamic between the Rav and the Shul. The Shul has to do what the Rav says, but the Rav is appointed and can be fired by the Shul. It's Aseh Lecha Rav. You have to do what the Rav says to do, but you choose which Rav to ask. And therefore, this very difficult. I've never been a shul rav, and I don't have any ambitions to be one. But this is an issue which is very, very sensitive. And I saw in Haranof as well, in the Dati Lumi community, there were many women who, for years and years, had tried to persuade Rav Feuerstein, who used to be the rav there, to allow women's hakafot with the Sefer Torah. He said, no. One year he said, okay, we'll do it this year. And there was a revolution. There were debates and disputes, and the rav said, we're going to have 6 weeks or something like that of shiurim on the pros and the cons, and we're going to see, you know, so people can be educated, which is very sensible, chinuchi, and we're going to have a vote of the kehillah to see what to do. Because he said, the rav is a rav, I'm happy to permit it, but as a kehillah, you need to decide. And they all took votes, and I wasn't there at this vote, but apparently it was exactly 50-50. They don't have it now. He's gone, I think. They don't have it now, as far as I'm aware. But I might be wrong. You can check that, etc. I want to bring you two sources, one by Rav Moshe Meiselman, who's the nephew of Rav Soloveitchik, and one by Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, the grandson of Rav Soloveitchik. Two Moshes that do not see the world in the same way. Okay? Rav Moshe Meiselman, number 24, in his Jewish Women in Jewish Law. An associated issue, although technically totally different, is the permissibility of women dancing in the synagogue with Torah scrolls during Hakafot and Simchat Torah. This practice has been opposed by all contemporary rabbinic authorities. My revered teacher, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, also his uncle, told me that he opposed this practice when questioned by synagogues in Brookline, Massachusetts, and New York City. The basis for this ruling, he told me, is the Talmud in Brachot, that just as there is an etiquette that regulates one's behavior when visiting someone else's home, so too there is a tradition that regulates behavior in the synagogue. Thus, for example, eating in the synagogue is not permitted, and an element of proper synagogue behavior, such as the prohibition against eating in the synagogue, is explicated in legal detail by the Talmud and the subsequent codes of Jewish law. The same applies to the introduction of innovations, which our ancestors considered to be in conflict with the feeling of respect and awe owed to the synagogue. Proper synagogue behavior is determined by practice and tradition. Since it has been the age-old practice of synagogues that women do not dance with Torah scrolls during Hakafot, the introduction of this practice would be a violation of synagogue etiquette. And even though Rav Meiselman is
prone to stress the more right-wing side of Rav Soloveitchik, let's put it this way, to the point that some people say this is a distortion of Rav Soloveitchik's view. On this issue, you should know that Rabbi Norman Lam includes this quote in one of his Sfarim, and even if Rabbi Norman Lam wouldn't necessarily agree with Rav Meiselman on the outcome, he presumably agrees that this was Rav Soloveitchik's position. He would not have him. Again, what Rav Soloveitchik would say today is a good question, but then he clearly did not allow it. However, look in source number 25. Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, who is a Rosh Hashiva in the Gush, and of course, Rabbanit Esti Rosenberg's elder brother. Everything is connected here. Number 25. I think that women's dancing with the Sefer Torah in the women's section is desirable today. 20 to 30 years ago, it was not desirable. The reason for this is twofold. Changes in prayer and custom and synagogue standards need to occur in a gradual and not a revolutionary fashion. As additional changes have occurred in women's participation and involvement in the synagogue, this change adds onto a broader process and fits the current reality in a way that I sense did not exist 20 to 30 years ago. My catchphrase, evolution and not revolution, is very correct here. So the first point is, in 1976, when Rav Shlomo Riskin was asking the Rebbe, and in 1978 when Rav Meiselman was writing his halacha, women's involvement generally in the community was much more limited in the running of the shul. Now, women are very, very involved in synagogue practices. In many shuls, they have a gabait, a woman who's responsible for the things, and there's nashim and for liaising with the shul. Women just have a much greater involvement. It's 50 years later. So, number one, the context is different today. Women are already much more involved.
Women are much more involved today.
We'll get to that number two. Furthermore, I feel that the advances that have occurred in this time period in women's Talmud Torah also make this change necessary. As long as the connection to Torah increases each year, so does the justification and expectation to dance with the Sefer Torah on Simchat Torah. I would say this change is necessary even without this point, but this point certainly increases the justification for it. That's a very good point. In 1976, how many women were learning Daf Yomi? I suspect very, very few. There are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of women learning Daf Yomi today. Many of them on their second, third cycle. There are women who give Daf Yomi Shirim. There are women who are Yoetz in Halakha. There are women who are very learned. There are women who are graduates of GPATS. And these are women in the mainstream Orthodox community who know an enormous amount of Sefer Torah, of Talmud Torah. And therefore, it's not a tokenism. It's not like, well, if the men can do it, why can't we? The answer is, well, we learn as much Torah as more than many of the men who are dancing around with the Sefer Torah, Sifrei Torah. So why should that be a disconnect? And then he says a third point, additionally, dancing with the Sefer Torah is not just a privilege, but a challenge. If women expect to dance with a Sefer on Simchas Torah, it will also lead to expectations of occupying themselves with Torah over the course of the year. Nice chinuch message. You dance with the Sefer Torah, shkayach! Now go learn the Sefer Torah for the year ahead, and it'll be a machayev for those women to do it. So that's very interesting. So you see there are different views on this. It is somewhat ironic that synagogue practice should be the reason why we're resisting change to Minhagim there, because the whole nature of what happens in the synagogue on Simchas Torah is recent. It's all evolved over the last few hundred years, even to the point that what actually happens is not what should happen, as we've seen. So synagogue practice is probably a weakest in its justification on this issue, but nevertheless, there are voices that are very concerned. I brought you Rav Eliezer Berkowitz in his Jewish Women in Time and Torah. Now, Rav Berkowitz was a somewhat controversial figure in Chicago, especially towards the end of his life, and he was a student of the Sridei Eish. And he says very clearly, what is the difference between the Sridei Eish's approach on Minhagim, which he's happy to change? For example, Bat Mitzvah. We don't have time to look at it now, but we've given this shir a couple of times. Bat Mitzvah, the Sridei Eish, has a landmark tshuva. Rabbi Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg says, even though we never did it before, we should be doing it now. It's very important for chinuch, for the young women, etc. As opposed to using anesthetic for a Brit Milah, where the Sridei Eish said, no way at all, Minhag Yisrael Torah here, we do not use anesthetic for a Brit Milah. Absolutely also, against Minhag Yisrael. What's the difference? So Rav Berkowitz says it's obvious what the difference was. In the case of the anesthetic, nothing has fundamentally changed. They had anesthetics back in the day. Okay, different ones. But they had the ability to do this 1,000 years ago, and the Rabbanim said no. Here, with Bat Mitzvah, the whole Matzav has changed. No one even gave this a thought. No one ever said this was not right, because no one ever thought of it. So on this issue as well, with Dancing with the Sifrei Torah, I'm sure that Rav Berkowitz would have been more supportive. I brought you on page 8, just very briefly in the last few minutes, two difficult and exciting pieces from Rav Kook. You can read these in your own time. In 27, basically, Rav Kook accuses anyone who changes Minhag Yisrael of tearing down the edifice of Torah, of being completely destructive and rash and unlearned. And in 28, he talks about like changing Minhagim, which now are outdated, as being part of the coming of Mashiach. And you can try and work out in your study of Rav Kook which of these applies in which situations. But two very different situations, two different quotes, and I brought them in English as well. But not for now. The Sridi Eishin 29 is the Bat Mitzvah. One, let me just read you a couple of lines from this. 29. Ulemaisa hadava talui bekavanat harotzim lechadesh minhag zeh shel chagigat bat mitzvah. He says, at the end of the day, it's all about motivation. Why? Why are you trying to introduce a bat mitzvah? Im hay mitkavnin l'shem mitzvah, are they doing it because this is what the Torah needs and the women need to be involved, which is what the Sridi Eish agrees with? Or chalila l'shem chikui haminim, or are they just going with other trends of the time? Are they trying to push an egalitarian agenda? Do they want equality? Do they say, if the men have a right to this, the women should have a right to this? So he holds that motivation is an agenda is the key factor. Now, I've been told when I've mentioned this to people, usually I've been told this by women, and they say, well, that's not fair, because you never ask the men what their motivation is. You only ask the women what their motivation is. And I respond that that's not true. He's saying anyone who wants to make a change. And by the way, on the issue of women dancing with the Sefer Torah, it's often women who are the most conservative and against these changes. It doesn't split male, female easily. And therefore, anyone who's making a change, they have to be the one that justifies, if you like, their motivation. And then the question is, well, how do you decide on motivation? How can I tell? The same person can have mixed motivations. Whose reasoning do you follow? Who do you listen to? How do you ask them? That's a good question. I brought you on page 9, two tshuvot. One is Rav Dov Lior. Rav Dov Lior from Hebron. Rav Dov Lior is completely against it. Totally and utterly against it. He said these women who want to dance, you can read this in your own time, number 32, with the Sefer Torah, they're just trying to blur the distinctions between men and women. He said men are men and women are women, and they have different essential qualities and they have different roles, and women are not obligated in Talmud Torah, and therefore why should they be dancing with the Sefer Torah? Very conservative opinion on which you can ask many questions. Rav Moshe in number 33, Rav Moshe Feinstein, is talking about feminism more generally, and he is also against anything that seeks to blur distinctions and agendas, etc., etc. And again, all of these issues. What's that? Yes, this is also from 1976, or Rav Lior is from 2002. Yeah, I agree 100%. And it's a little bit like communism. In the 1920s, communism was a real threat to the Frumkeit of the yeshivas and the Jewish. Communism is no longer an issue that we're dealing with. Reform is really no longer an issue. In the 1970s, feminism was a major challenge to Torah thought. I don't think feminism is the slightest challenge today. Feminism has moved in different waves, third wave, fourth wave, to a point that most Orthodox Jews just are not comfortable with feminism at all. Women. Most feminists from the 1980s and 90s are not comfortable with feminism at all. Half of them have been cancelled. Germaine Greer. I mean, they're all out. They're all out. These were icons of the feminist movement, and they've all been cancelled because they still believe that women are women and men are men, and you can't. That's not something you can say anymore. So you're right. It's a question of, but it all has to be weighed up. Okay, conclusions in the last minute of the shiur. Okay, so you know, you can't expect from me to come down clearly on this one way or the other. If I were the rov of a shul, then I think I would be more inclined, if the shul was okay with it, to allow what Rav Rabinovitz said in terms of women dancing around the Sefer Torah. But I'm not, and therefore my opinions are irrelevant and decontextual. But I brought you on page 10, arguments for, arguments against. We've talked about most of these. There is also a danger of constantly saying no to things which are actually not really a problem, or don't have to be a problem. Because if you constantly say no, you just push people out completely, and then they end up doing things which are really a problem. And I found this in the women's, dealing with women in the community. If there's never any room, even when there are, when there's room for that leniency, then that can be a problem as well. On the other hand, there are lots of agendas, and to the point that this causes machlokas. This issue can destroy communities. Now, I don't know which way that goes. It means you don't talk about it, or just talk about it and deal with it. I'm not sure. And I brought you other things as well. Many women feel that Simchas Torah is just a men's club, especially with the drinking, which is more of a problem in Chutz La'aretz and getting worse, not so much here. And I brought you some things at the end. And at the end of the last footnote, I brought you the very sensitive resolution in Alon Shvut between Rav Weitzman, who is the Rav of the Yeshuv, and Rav Rimon, who is the Rav of the Shul. So Rav Weitman is Rav Rimon's boss and friend, but Rav Rimon is the Rav of Gush Etzion, so Rav Rimon is also Rav Weitman's boss and friend. So how they worked it out together, you can read that, and you'll see what the answer is, and you can see for yourselves. Okay, let's leave it there. Thank you very much to everybody, and have a good week. I'll see you next week. Please go.